This past Monday was a very cool day for a really good reason. It was the 28th annual 4th grade bird walk at Dillingham Elementary School. Short of Beaver Roundup, I can't think of anything else in the area that has such a long, uninterrupted history. Just how long is 28 years when it comes to annual events? Let me help lend some perspective to that time frame for you. The initial bird walk took place in 1985. That happens to be the year I graduated from high school, which kind of freaks me out to think about. So it's been around for as long as I've been a voting-aged adult. What that also means is that when the bird walk got started, Ronald Reagan was still in office. The number one song in the land at that time, well, since this is a radio station, was "Don't You Forget About Me" by the group Simple Minds. That song is perhaps better known as the theme song from the iconic movie The Breakfast Club. On the technology front, Commodore released the state-of-the-art Amiga 1000, and Nintendo had just released their Nintendo Entertainment System with its hot new game, Super Mario Bros. Also, a new car averaged a bit under $9,000, and gas was a bit over a buck per gallon. Certainly a lot has changed, but the bird walk marches on. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. That first walk was organized by Dillingham City School District staff member Irma O'Brien, whom I have to confess I know absolutely nothing about. Many other people have had a big part in keeping the walk going, including Joanne Nelson, Karen Bilek, and Janice Larson. The current fourth grade teachers are Janice and Rhiannon Salee. Janice has been a part of it for over 20 years of its history and is still very enthusiastic about the event. It's uncertain how long Togiak Refuge has had a role, but it's likely well over 10 years and possibly much more. For myself, this was my sixth bird walk since coming to work for the refuge in June of 2007. So, what's the big deal about this event, other than its longevity? Well, the bird walk is a terrific opportunity to take nature right to the kids, and at an age when they're beginning to really understand about how the natural world functions. Bird watching, or birding, is a very popular hobby on a national and global scale, and one that continues to grow. This is probably due to the fact that you can do it almost anywhere, and it doesn't have to cost a dime to do. Plus, most folks would agree that birds can be very interesting to watch. But I've talked before about birding and why I think it's a great hobby, so I won't spend any huge amount of time on that today. I'd rather highlight the bird walk itself and some of the things that we were able to glean this year. I don't know how my predecessors chose to conduct this event, but what's evolved in my 6 years, and seems to work really well, is that I make 2 pre-walk visits of about an hour each before we go on the actual walk. The first visit is an introductory presentation that talks about birds and bird types and introduces the idea of birding. The second visit gets into a bit more detail about how to go about birding and provides an in-the-classroom test to prepare the kids for the actual walk. During that test, I use a projector to show images on the screen of unidentified birds. The kids, working in groups and using field guides, have a limited time to try and make a positive identification. After each image, we talk about what they could have been looking at to help them out with that identification. After these 2 visits, then it's time for the actual walk itself. The bird walk takes place during the last week of school and within perhaps a half mile or a little more of the school. Kids are put into groups of 4 or 5 students and accompanied by as many as 3 adults. They set out dressed for the weather with field guides and binoculars. Each group also carries a clipboard with paper and pencil to record species and bird totals. There's no definite route to follow. Each group kind of heads off in a different direction, with the mandate to be back just short of lunchtime. Actual walk time is around 2.5 hours during most years. After everyone gets back together in the classroom, all accumulated lists are turned over to me, and I compile a master list of all species spotted and how many birds, which is then shared with students, teachers, volunteers, and parents. Is birding for everyone? Nah, not at all. Anytime you have a large group of kids, in the case of Dillingham Elementary classes, it's usually around 40, there's going to be a few who just aren't interested. Still, far and away, most of the students I have seen take part in the walk really get into it, both during the classroom session and during the walk itself. It's something they look forward to and enjoy, as do the adults who are involved, myself included. So, what of the birds we see? As you might expect, every year there are some commonalities across the years. Such is the nature of the beast in regards to migratory birds and a static location and time each year. For example, every year we see a lot of gulls, particularly mew gulls, which are very, very common to southwest Alaska. But each year typically has a few surprises as well, which is always cool. To illustrate that, gulls as a whole may be quite common, but this year it seemed like we saw more Bonaparte's gulls than we usually do. These particular gulls, while still very plentiful across Alaska, are more of an inland gull and not one we see as often on the birdwalk. Aside from the size, they're pretty easy to spot. They have black heads and orange legs, which make them easy to pick up in the binoculars, something that's helpful for the kids and just getting started with birding. It's nice to have readily evident colors and markings that are easy to spot and lend themselves to a rock-solid identification. I have to confess, I was a bit nervous about this year's walk, and that was a sentiment I heard echoed by many of the other adults associated with it. Our apprehension was due to the fact that winter seemed to be taking a long time leaving. This was the first year since I've been a part of the walk that the lily pond, by the Nushigak Electric Building, was still frozen over. Because of that, we had some concerns about how much we might actually see in the way of birds. Well, we need not have worried. In the end, hundreds of birds were seen representing 35 different species. That 35 is a fairly high number in relation to other years, at least in the times that I've been going on walks. So there were, and are, plenty of birds out there to see. Perhaps birds aren't your thing. If that's the case, thanks for indulging me today. For the better part of my life, I had no real interest either, and I still don't think of myself as a serious birder, though I can fairly easily tell the difference between such common area shorebirds as dowitchers, dunlins, and sandpipers, something I'm fairly certain my circle of friends and family can't do. So, perhaps I know a bit more about birds than I like to think I do. I guess my point in sharing that is to point out that while I don't think of myself as a birder, on some level I probably am, and I gotta confess, I really enjoy it. So for those of you who think that maybe it's not your thing, well, it might surprise you. Also, while today's episode has been about an event in Dillingham, I would suggest that if you're from another area village and hearing this, the same type of opportunity is available in your community. There are ponds and areas close to every village that offer chances to get out and observe birds. And if an organized activity like this one sounds appealing, hit up your local school about getting something started. For my part, I'd be happy to be involved if it's something the school has an interest in doing. Summer's nearly here. The birds we saw Monday are certainly a harbinger of that. Enjoy the days outside to come, folks. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.